Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Borderless Minds podcast. This is your favorite podcasters, Jadot, and this is my guy, Christian.
You're already favorite. First, wait, second.
While we're on that, please go ahead and subscribe, like, watch our videos, give us some feedback. We have received some very positive and very encouraging feedback. So please go ahead and follow us on our social media platforms as well. We are on TikTok and Instagram at TheBMPod, at TheBMPod, TheBMPod, at TheBMPod, Instagram.
Wait, is that right? T-H, go ahead again.
TheBMPod. Okay. A man with 4 degrees, I still can't spell. I apologize, that's off topic. Thank you again for staying with us and for your support, for watching us. We're trying to, with this podcast, take you guys through our journeys and elaborate more on life of an international student, where they go through some of the complications or intricacies that come with being on an F1 visa here in the US. And we're hoping to get some guests as well, as we mentioned on a previous episode, that can take us through their journeys. Mm-hmm. But right now we're trying to lay a foundation of what we are, how we will build this whole journey or this whole podcast from where we started from to where we are, and then to potentially where we can go in the future as well. Like what some of the advices somebody can offer who's already somewhere where we're not. Would you like to add anything?
No. You just covered it. It's a blueprint as we are laying this foundation where how we got here, what we studied and what we currently do, what are the struggles we went through. What are the lessons we learned? That's just going to be the same blueprint we ask all the guests. So that's just going to be before we even dive deeper into those topics like the CPT and the OPT that we talked about and the green cards that are going to be some of the big topics that are going to be covered within this podcast. So before we get to that, we want to lay that foundation of why we even came here, how we got here. Why did we choose this country? I believe that's one of the topics that we're going to be discussing. But I think the first thing that you mentioned, which I want to highlight, is just to thank you all for reaching out and the support and the feedback, like the mic, man. We got the mics. You forgot to mention that. That was one of the things that excited us, the mics.
Those who follow us on social media got the first pick of... We started
from the bottom. I mean, we're not there yet, but we started really from the bottom. We did just a few investments because, well, we still got a lot of debts that we're trying to pay off at the same time. really appreciated that feedback because we went in and invested on this mic because this is how much we are really invested in this podcast, because we're trying to bring that information and it really does matter to us. So thank you for that feedback. I know they also commented on the video, but we're not there yet. We just started with the mic. Hopefully the next thing is going to be the video so you can get a better highlight as Jadot's hairline that he recedes every month. So the camera, hold on, we will start with the mic first and then... we're here, but really, thank you. It's something that, why are you still laughing?
Hey, that was personal. Man.
They'll get to see it. They'll have a first row to the show. Anyway. Because I'm here for that. But thank you, and really hope you get to enjoy this because we are invested. You still laughing?
Anyway, please go ahead and follow us on social media, Instagram and TikTok. We want to be able to engage with you guys in terms of... We may have some Q&As in the future coming up regarding like what do you wish you knew, or what were some of the first thing you tried when you got to the US, some of those things. So please stay tuned. We have some more things planned out for you guys. But you mentioned earlier that we want to, like, for today's episode, we want to talk about why did we choose the US. Let me go ahead and ask you, like, did you consider any other place? Did you consider staying back home, or was the US always, like, I know you touched it a little bit last episode, what made you come to the US, but go ahead and remind our listeners, like, if you considered any place else
Nah, I did not. I never did. For me, like I've mentioned in the last episode, basketball was a pretty big part of my life for a long time. So, like I said, I really wanted to play in the NBA. It's not something that I woke up and I wanted to do. I know. We'll talk better, more again as we get deeper when I got here. But basketball was a pretty huge part of my life when I was in high school. I started playing in 2007. When I touched the ball, when we got to IFAC, it was that Wednesday afternoon. You remember, it was the first week of school. It's a Wednesday afternoon when we have like no classes. It's just how did we call it? PE day? What is it? I don't remember, but it was just
sport obligatoire. That's
sport obligatoire. What does that mean?
I would like to emphasize that we're not cussing. It's IFAK. So you said IFAC. So it's
IFAK. Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yeah, go ahead.
It's a French word. Institut de formation apostolique de chimie rouge.
You remember?
Man, listen.
Okay, biology.
But yes.
IFAK.
Yeah, we're not trying to cuss. It's IFAK. It's an abbreviation.
I never even realized that. How did you even catch that?
I was always aware.
Oh, so it's not the first time.
It's not the first time. Yeah.
But okay, I stand corrected. Thank you.
So we're trying to be PG.
We'll keep everyone. It PG-18.
But yes, PG-13. So you said you wanted to go to play basketball. Like basketball was a huge thing.
Pretty big time. Yes, in my. But it's not that time that I touched the ball that Wednesday. It was like something that I think the feeling I got is still the same feeling that I'm trying to pursue in everything that I do. Mm. Currently, because it was an excitement, it was something I was made. Every violation in basketball that existed, I think I was committing that in every single time we were playing. Like I had no idea, but it felt good to just be out there and just being able to play. And then I started really getting invested in the sport. I started really enjoying. I started doing more and more, and I would even like during vacation, I would just go play every single day.
Yeah, the holidays.
Yeah.
The summer breaks.
Yes, the summer breaks.
Summer? We did trimesters, not semesters. We did trimesters. So our longest break was in December.
We had, I don't remember, man.
Yeah,
that's a long time ago. Do you know that's 2007?
But it was always the same till like at least for me till 2012.
It was always what?
The same like length of a trimester.
Yeah. But I'm not remembering. Like,
I think
the
we did January
time.
To April, and then we did like 2 weeks break. We came back like late April to July, late July, and
you
then
you have a pretty good memory, man. I don't remember any of that.
I think I think the year ended sometime in October.
In October.
Yes. And then we had like the 2 months break for Christmas and all that, and then we came back in January. Yes,
That's when they started, because there was a time where we started in September as well, but that's too deviating. Then they changed it. But yeah, so basketball, that was the main thing for me. It's not until 2009 when I got into in 2009, yes, ninth grade. That's when I was like, this is it. Because I started loving it. I started being more and more invested. And then in 2010, I was selected for the under 18 national team. And that's when it became like, hey, I can do this thing full time. So I was at that time for me, that's when I was like, I'm going to America. I want to play in the NBA. I want to play college because that was the path. Everybody would go through college, division, whatever one. Mm-hmm. And then you go to NBA because that's the path that I would see on TV. So to me, it was always yes. But now we have players that just come out from anywhere. So I didn't know that before.
Yeah,
so
usually size plays a lot. Yes. Especially if you didn't play here and you're just coming from overseas, you got to be big.
Yes. But to me, that was it. But yeah, but that's the only thing. I think everybody understands that now. nothing
was still
else.
A dream.
Yeah, that was still a dream, but we'll get more into that. But what about you? How did you decide about coming
here? It was a possibility for me to go to school back home. Everything was just open, but I already had a brother here who was already in the U.S., so it was much more likely that I was going to be here in the U.S. as well. Mm-hmm. So and then we started looking into like what schools could I go to?
Where did he go in?
He went to school in rural Mississippi. That's a whole different
story. No. Like, What point in time when you were in high school? Like, when did he go to U.S.?
So he came to the U.S. when I was in 11th grade.
11th grade. And that's grade. When you're like, okay, I'm
so going to go to. I mean, it was expensive. So, like, I was like, it may or may not happen.
It may or may not
We happen. Talked last episode about, like, the cost of attending college here. Mm-hmm. So, like, having two kids going to school here is, like, a whole different thing. Right. So then 12th grade, like, last my senior high school, it was a possibility. That's when I started, like, taking the SATs.
Oh, yeah.
It's because, like, okay, we started looking to schools, and I was looking at the prices of, like, godly. So, like, you're looking at, you know, all the good schools that sound good, like the Stanfords, the Brown Universities.
Yeah, you mentioned Harvard last time.
That was for medical school, but that's neither here or there.
Right.
And then, okay, it was like, oh, cost of attendance and all that. I was like, okay. And then you're like, okay, if you get a good SAT score, then you're more likely to get a scholarship.
Right.
And then I did it twice. I did the first time. I didn't do as good because I was shooting for like a 1900, which was like impossible. I never got close.
You did SAT three times?
Twice.
Okay, so the first time, how?
The first time, I think I was in, now for both times, I was still like in my last year in high school.
Okay.
But the first time,
oh, you did it before finishing?
Yeah.
Man, okay.
I mean, you guys had already done it. Like all the kids, oh, he went to, for those who are in Rwanda, he went to Green Hills Academy. So like he was one of them kids. Like he probably like did a lot more like AP classes type thing, which was a whole different, you guys had like a whole different calendar school year.
Yeah, so
like
with semesters versus programs there that were available. There was the national one if you wanted to just continue with the same program as other schools. And there was the IB, which will go up to grade 12. And there was the Cambridge, which will only go to grade 10.
So, like, if you could have had a chance to go to England then, like, with the Cambridge system?
Yes, grade 10, if you were to finish Cambridge. I know a guy who went directly to UK after finishing that grade 10, doing the IGCSE exam. I believe that's what they called it. Yeah, so it was Cambridge program. Yeah, Green Hills had a lot to offer, but not to mention that it also had a lot of stress that it would add because it was a lot of studying, a lot of books, a lot to keep up with. But we had good teachers, and those programs would also have a way to guide you if you wanted to study in the U.S., like the SAT. For us, we had practice for SAT. Wow. We had a class for it. So we had American teachers for that program, and they knew pretty well how the American program was. So they started really educating us on SATs, on school applications beforehand.
So like you had some sort of like guidance from your school.
Because
I was going to ask you like how they, because it sounds like more similar like U.S. system here. Like if you're in high school, you start seeing, I don't know if they call them counselors, where they can guide you through like when to apply, what schools you should consider applying to because of your grades and all that. So you guys had that.
We had a counselor, a guidance counselor. I never really used, she was, it was a she. I don't think I went to her that much. But once you got into grade 12 or grade 11, they started really being more specific about schools. Like if you want to study in America, because most of the kids there wanted to. So if you wanted to study abroad, they were like applications start really early. And they had deadlines.
Oh, you knew what the deadlines were?
Yeah, they started emphasizing on that. They would say, hey, you got to look into those schools that you want to go to because the deadlines were different. You know, the system back home is different than the system here. Like everything here is a deadline. You have to go through this. Like it's a step-by-step thing that you have to go. But if you're back home, if there is a school you want to go to, the easiest thing is go knock on the door and say, hey, I want to register my kid here. Mm-hmm. That's why it was so difficult for us to understand. But the teachers at that time were like, and the principal as well, she was also emphasizing, if you want to go study abroad, you have to look into the deadlines. You have to start applying. You have to do the SAT. They started telling
essays.
Us about, and essays as well. You have to start, and also getting recommendations from teachers.
Man.
They started telling us that, and it was a good school.
It's quite a contrast compared to like where I went to school. Because I went to the same school, but you changed schools after like ninth grade. I stayed in the same school for the whole 6 years.
Yeah.
But it's quite a contrast when you compare like school systems like trimester versus semester.
Yeah.
also access to that kind of information, like, okay, recommendation letters, which I didn't know like how to do, like, and then that's a whole different thing, because like because I was thinking like also like, and here we're talking about like application process,
yeah,
from high school back home in Rwanda to the college, US.
Yes.
And so we, I know most schools here require like official transcripts.
Right.
What that means basically is they want transcripts that are sent from your school directly,
directly to them. Them. Yes.
Not something that your school handed to you and then you ship.
Yes.
Ship it to the US.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not putting myself in any any messed up way, but I never sent my official transcripts.
Oh, really?
I'm like, we didn't have that. Like,
so what did you do? Like, what was the?
I took him myself when I went to my college.
Oh, you brought to. So how did you get accepted?
If
you,
I sent him my transcripts, and they were like, "Okay, we need
an official transcript."
Yes.
Oh, because you can send that as well.
Yes, unofficial means like, hey, anybody can send those transcripts, but
not specifically from the school.
Yes, but they have to like that way they're not tampered with. Yes. That way they know it's official.
Yeah.
So like that's one of the things, like SATs and ACTs. Then I didn't start knowing about those until like later, like in my last year. I'm like, okay, let me do a test and let's see how it goes. I think I had one book. I practiced. I was like, man, all I can say is like he made me hit the English language first time. Legit.
Yeah, like, that exam was just, long.
No, I think it was like 2 hours.
Don't you have different?
It was four sections, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like writing, which I had no. That's why, like, I think last episode I touched on it. Like, if I could get an A in English, something that I'd never done before, everything else was possible. So, like, when you do SAT in the writing section, where like they give you a topic and you have to like, structure the whole thing, like introduction, body, and conclusion.
Yes.
And then I think you had like 15 minutes, I believe, or like 30 minutes to write down. Everything
you really
organized.
Have a good memory, man. I feel like for me it was like a trauma, so that I'm.
That's why I remember it. That's why I remember it.
That's why you remember. No, mine. I think I suppressed it because it felt long, and it's not just the writing; it was also the reading and answering questions. And for us,
the reading skills that got me, because like they give you the, like, I would say sections of like excerpts of different. Right.
So you would read the question is exactly the first paragraph, and then you go on the second. The questions were chronological.
I was just waiting for the math section. That's all I was doing. I was waiting for the math section and the writing, the English verbal. No, not the verbal. Where you got to, like, because we took English classes, by the way, like from first grade all the way to 12th grade.
Yeah.
We always had like an English class.
In fact.
No, since elementary school, like first grade.
Oh, yeah. It's like a part of like a math. It's like math as well. It's like French.
It's considered like, let's say somebody here taking like a Spanish class, but I took English classes and French classes pretty much my entire life.
Yeah.
So like in addition to other classes that we were taking.
But it wasn't like speaking. It was more like conjugaison. How do you say that in English?
Tenses.
Tenses. Yeah, it was pretty much, this is it. Even the teacher wouldn't speak English the entire time. It was depending on where you went to. Because where I went, international, if we're going back, for me, it wasn't always that. It was, he comes, sometimes he might even say, talking in Kinyarwanda, and then once we start like reading whatever is on the board, then we speak English. So he wasn't really consistent with, it's like, yeah, I don't want to say anything bad, but yes, it's just that. Good. Yeah.
So going back, like, did anybody help you with the process of application, or did you just mostly do everything by yourself? And
no, I mean, yeah. So we started with the school, but eventually I had somebody. Once again, I'm not trying to sponsor anybody but at the time there was a guy that was helping people come here. I had my friend also who came here early when we were in grade 11. He got here early, so he connected me with the guy.
Okay.
And then through the guy, I went, that's how I got the number. And then that's when my mom realized I was really serious. She thought I was joking with coming here. She wasn't really like convinced. She thought I was just saying all that to
say. You
want
to play basketball.
Yeah, but then when I got the number and I was like, hey, this is the person that is going to help me, my mom was like, what?
Like, so did the guy serious? Sorry to interrupt, but did the guy like give you a list of the schools, or like did you give
him? No, he already was connected with a few schools, And okay. That's the ones we used.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I also, at the same time, I was applying for myself through Common App. Okay. Was it Common App?
Common Application, yeah.
Common Application, yeah. So I did that on my own, but at the same time, we also used the guy.
So which schools did you end up going to? Like the ones you applied to or the ones you
got from the guy? The one he applied to. The one he helped me through because he had connections. So once you're here, it's easy to apply because you can stay in contact with the school. Because I was able to apply for my little brother once I got here. Because I'm the one who got him his college acceptance. And then once I applied for him, I was always asking like, hey, what do you want to do? Like, send me this information. Major, like, you're going through the entire application, he already knew what major he wanted, but like, oh, hey, go get this, go get the transcripts, go get this paperwork, like the documents that were needed. I would always tell him like, this is needed, because I knew the system. Once I got here, I think that's the main thing. Once you know how the system works here, it's easy. So I applied for him he got me the documents. I even paid because at that time I had a credit card. Oh, that's one of the documents I forgot. Yeah, last time when I say we're going to talk about ID, how to get your ID. Also, we're going to talk about your social security. We're going to talk about debit card and credit card. Those are also some of the important
debit
subjects. Debit
card, yeah. As long as you have a bank. Yeah. Yes.
That's also another thing that you need to open up once you get here, because that's how they send you money. So we'll get through that. But so I had a debit card at the time, so I was able to pay, which is something at the time when I applied, my mom didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to find somebody. I applied for my brother. And then once I applied, the next day I called the school. I was like, did you get the application for my brother? Like, I was able to call the school, like the student admission. Like, did you get this application? Is there anything missing that I need to start looking for? And they're like, no, everything is here. So we'll go through it and we'll let you know. Like, it was that easy. But for me, because like, as you're going through that application, first of all, it's long. And it was the first time that I'm using a computer for applications like that. We normally just go to write essays. That's the one that we were doing.
Is this about your brother or you?
No, for me.
Okay.
So it was the first time that I was going through the applications. Uh-huh. And it was long, man. I don't know, man. It was too long. It was
Common App. Are you talking about Common App?
I did that, and then I applied to like five schools at the same time. And I remember my mom had to pay $90. But for the guy, like I mentioned, we had to go get a credit card from somebody. So my mom gave him $100 for him to pay $90.
I see.
Yeah.
So was the guy located here in the U.S. or was he back home?
No, he was back home, but he had been in America. You know how you have your credit card, just using your credit card because you still have a bank here. My mom gave him $100 cash, and then he paid, he used his credit card to pay $90 through that. And that's what, you didn't use Common App?
No.
What'd you use?
I think I only applied to two schools.
Two schools.
I got accepted at both.
Nice.
And no shade to my school, but like, it was just much easier to get into. So there was not much requirement. Like the more prestige school you apply to, there's more things you have to like jump through, more requirements and much more like button up. For mine, I'm trying to remember. All I did, actually, like I did my application myself.
Yeah.
But my brother paid for my application fee. That's one thing also you have to know. You play, an application fee, you mentioned $90 for five schools, which is actually not bad. I think mine was like $75 for just that one school.
For one school, yeah.
Yeah. And you touched on something that I want to go back to in terms of like you helped your brother and all that. Yeah. And I don't know about you, like do other people reach out to you like, hey, can you find me a school? Because that's a whole other like topic, like can you find me a school? Because for me, I find it hard to help somebody.
Why?
Applying in terms to a whole new school, because I have to know so much.
Oh, so you have to do your own research before even helping them.
Because I have to know how much money are you willing to pay.
Oh, how much? So like, what do you want to study? Business.
I don't care going into their business, but like that's, I have to go back and forth. It's like it feels like a full time gig. I knew a school, like hey, if they wanted to go to a school that I went to that I know. It would be easy. Hey, this is where you apply. Yeah. This is the application process.
Yeah.
But like somebody could reach out like, hey, could you find me a school? Which I don't mind.
Yeah.
But then again, I have to ask what how much are you willing to spend on this school, like yeah, tuition?
So it's going
to
be a lot of.
And then they may ask, or in scholarships, they may ask you to write essays for them.
So no, like you've never. For me, it was just because he was family.
But anybody else ever ask you like to
help them with
any family member back home, like, hey, find me a school in the U.S. I'm trying to come to the U.S.
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think I ever applied for anybody else.
I apologize if I ever say no to you, but that's how it is.
It's a process. It's a dedication. It's quite some time because you have to get really invested. You have to follow up. But once you, it's just, I don't know, man. I don't remember if anybody ever asked me, but you touched on it was easy to get in your schools.
Actually,
it wasn't like when you're back home, you want the big schools. But if you're trying to get here, find those small schools. Because even for my brother, we started with the community college and then he transferred to Arkansas.
Yes. But
we started with the community college. And I think that's something that when you're in Rwanda, you thinking about those big names, Duke, because I don't think
many people know about junior college, JUCO, or community colleges.
Community colleges.
Because even for Americans here in the U.S., like, it's always advice for them to go to community college or
first.
That way they can, it's much cheaper. It's always cheaper.
Yes.
And then those credits will usually be accepted to a whole new school, which means you don't have to spend as much money or be in as much debt.
Community college is cheaper and it's also easier to prove that you can afford tuition. But the only thing that I don't know, does embassy allow all the schools when you go through? Because there is the application process for the school. Mm. And then the next thing is embassy application.
Yes.
Because you might have a school, but the embassy might still reject you for visa. So once you got accepted, what was the next step?
Because you get accepted, they send you a packet of acceptance
that
includes I-20. I-20 is like a document that basically gives you the school information, has like a code that's specific for you, believe it's like your alien number. Alien number, that's where you have like the N-dash number, alien number. If you're doing like immigration stuff, you would know.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the number you also use when you're applying for a visa interview. And then once you get the I-20, has how much money you will be paying for that school for that first year. And everything that's required.
Yeah.
And you have to take that I-20, that document, to the embassy. The
acceptance letter.
And that.
I took both. So you get in that packet, you get the acceptance letter, you get the I-20, and you get everything about the school, what it is.
Yes.
And
also there we go.
Because it's going to say, hey, this school has been here for this long. This is how many graduates we get every year. Just pretty much about the school. Acceptance letter, I-20. School information. So within the acceptance letter, it says how much you're gonna pay, and it also has another.
It's on
another
I-20. List.
I-20 also is also there. So once you got that, what was your what else did you do? Because once you got accepted to two schools, did you get those pamphlets at the same time? Both of the ones. How did you choose?
Money.
Oh, so one was more expensive.
Yeah, almost $10,000 a semester for one South Dakota, and then I went to Oklahoma, Northwestern Oklahoma State. Shout out to Rangers, man, because even for like in-state students, it was one of the cheapest schools to go to. You just had to be willing to sacrifice the
social
prestigious people there like had fun in their own way, but like, like you sacrificed this prestigious college. But I think I remember like a statistic. I could be wrong, but I think like 70% of students there finished school with little to no debt. So cheap that like you could get a degree without having to dig yourself into a hole.
Yeah,
financially.
And that's big thing when you graduate here because you start on this, in the minors.
Yes.
So you start building a life in the minors, but that's for Americans.
Okay.
You mentioned that you paid out of pocket and you can get
Actually, I was supposed to cut because I came started school fall of 2014,
mm-hmm.
but I was supposed to start spring of 2014. But guess what happened? So I applied, and my brother, since he was already here, like just like you did for your little brother,
yeah,
he paid for my application fee,
yeah,
and he wrote a check to them. They received it, but for some reason there was like a clerical error,
mm-hmm.
and they thought I had not paid for my application fee. So I got accepted, but I just kept waiting for an acceptance. But they never told me anything. So I kept telling my brother, like, hey, they haven't reached out anything.
Yeah.
And then he reached out. He was like, oh, he never paid for his application fee.
Oh.
And then he was like, I'm the one who paid it. I gave you a check. So
there was a mismatch between the names?
No, like everything was good. They just like did like maybe put the
check
with, on,
the
with my application or whatever. See. But for some
credit
reason.
Card or debit card. Faster.
I mean, yeah, but I was so ticked because I was like, man.
So how long did you wait to get your acceptance?
So I had to wait a whole, so like then
oh, so instead of starting
I got accepted in like, I actually got accepted maybe like in December-ish
mm-hmm.
to start in January, the spring semester.
Yeah.
But I never got official approval.
Official acceptance.
Acceptance, yeah. Not approval, acceptance.
Yeah.
So I just had to sit out another semester.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So how long? So you finished in 20 what?
So like, 2012? Okay, to paint a better picture.
Yeah.
Because we do trimesters and the U.S. system does semesters. So in the U.S., the school year starts in September.
September.
But for us, the school year started in January back home. So you finish high school sometime October, November.
Yeah.
So you cannot start until the fall or September of the next year.
Yeah,
so we'll do a national exam.
National exams results.
But if it was a whole semester system, then we would be able to like be aligned up.
Right.
Because like for you, I know it was different.
No, yeah, because we were starting at the same time as the American system.
So you had like little time to wait, like maybe like 3 months.
So I graduated in May, and then boom, I started. Graduated in 2012 May, and then in August 2012 I was here.
So yeah, I think I sat 2 years
before.
Huh? I sat for 2 years.
You sat for 2 years because of a clerical error.
No,
first of all, because of the
first
system
year.
Of the Rwanda, the different system and the
yes.
different timeline of when the
school year
ends
starts.
And
yeah.
starts and ends. And then because of a clerical error, it added another year.
It added another semester.
Semester. Okay. Man.
Yeah.
Right.
So now I just
here,
remember
right?
that. I
but
was like,
this
God,
is where
me.
You realize that life just has its own plan.
Yeah.
But it feels like somebody
you roll with the punches.
Do you remember how you felt like if with people that were starting already college and you felt did you feel like there you were behind because
oh, no.
they had gone? You were
no.
okay.
I was like, hey, as long as I get to go to America, like
that's
that was
all.
A dream.
So you like that? That's
I was
the
like,
main
yeah,
because
like I think my parents almost enrolled me in college, like because they didn't.
As you waiting,
they didn't want me. I was like, why waste money if I'm gonna go to college regardless
eventually.
In the US.
But they wanted you to do something. They're like,
yeah.
we're tired of you being here.
Yeah.
You've been here for a whole year.
Yeah. So I was like, man.
But that wait time, man, because I don't know how you did it because you're strong mentally. Like we just talked about how your brain works, like how your memory is good. But even that's being strong mentally because when we graduated.
I didn't have time to think about it.
I'm going to America. But when we graduated from college and people were getting jobs and they didn't have a job, you know how down I was? Like, I'm waiting, but I'm not getting anything.
I was helping the folks. So, like, I was.
Oh, okay. You
so
had
like,
something to occupy
had, yeah,
yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, we'll get deeper into some of the details with the job search. But yeah, going back to the application. So, you got accepted in
2014. Probably February is when they sent me the actual, like, packet, mm-hmm. acceptance packet that had school information.
Yeah.
I-20 and acceptance letter.
Yes.
And then actually I applied for my visa interview. I think I got my visa like in June, I believe.
So you got it.
And I started like in August. So I got like, cause I had way too much time to prepare.
Yeah.
So if you got admission in February,
yes.
you have like all this time to like prepare.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to talk about like your side of the story, like when you got accepted and all that. Because after that, we're going to go into like the visa application process.
Yeah.
Like a whole thing.
wow, you even mentioned the month you got accepted in. I'm trying to remember if I don't remember when I got accepted. But because we had started the application process like a year before, even not a year, but like yeah, we started pretty early, man. Shout out to Green Hills. I know it was stressful being there because of the IB program, but they were helpful in some sense. So they knew a lot about the system. The teachers were very helpful. I got a very good recommendation from the coach as well, which helped me get a it didn't actually never
mind. Green Hills, do your thing. Induct this man in the Hall of Fame of basketball. Didn't you guys win a trophy? Just side note. You guys won a trophy, right?
Two.
Okay. Anyway, yes.
Yeah, we're good, man. We're good. I really hope they're winning. I want to see their team now. But it was pretty good. It was a pretty good time in high school.
So, like, now, good question. In terms of where you went to school, it was almost similar to American system. Did some of your classes transfer as credits when you came to the U.S. or no?
Did you ever do any IB? Yes, because I didn't do any pre-calc.
Did you do any IB? And
I did
those,
IB.
Your IB was some of those like advanced like classes where
The math was advanced because I did high level math. By the way, I also failed my diploma. I got a certificate. I got a certificate in IB. I missed 1 point. So it was really hard. Man. Yeah. But the certificate was good enough. And because I had math high level, I never got to do any pre-calc here in college. So there were like two math classes that I did not have to take.
So like you had some credit hours before?
Yeah, that counted. So because I was general engineering and they wanted to start with me with the pre-calc, but then I showed that I did math high level. They were like, oh, okay, you can just go straight to calculus class.
Sorry,
okay,
guys.
Okay, man. Did I scare you with my degree?
No, I was worried because you failed.
Yes, I did. It was tough, man. What did your parents say? Ooh, very good question.
Because I'm sure you'd pay more money, right?
To be part of those IB. Yes, it was way more money than the other program that we had. But it was the first time. I've always somehow gotten away with everything that I ever did. So like it was always thing? Like I've never no for real. This is a serious thing.
Okay.
I've never really got any disappointment in life, like at that time. Like seriously. Like some things that I would do, somehow it would work out. In school, in sport. Somehow it was the first time I ever tried something and they knew that I tried my best and somehow I failed. But to them, it was like, how is he going to deal with this disappointment? Because it was the first time. Okay. So they were really understanding. Mm-hmm. And they were like, I don't know. It was different. It's like, do you want to switch off your phone? Seriously, because everybody was calling each other. Like the point, grades just came out and people were just calling like, hey, how did it go? And then my parents were like, do you want to switch off your phone? Do you just like, what do you want to do? Like they started being more concerned about me. So it was like, oh, but to me, I was like, I'm okay because I already knew that I was going to go to the US and somehow I trusted the guy that was doing the whole application that he was going to go through and he did. So it was my first time facing something that did not go my way. And then my parents were very understanding. And shout out to the parents. Yeah.
Shout out to the parents.
It was the first time, but it was not the last time.
It was the first of many.
It was the first of many to come, especially once we get to this journey here of America. I know we're still setting up the ground of how we got here, which is going to be also the, well, like we said, it's going to be the blueprint of the questions that we ask people as they come come on this podcast. Going back to your process, so what happened once you got that acceptance? How did you prepare for the interview?
Did you even prepare? So that's one thing I've realized. Like,
Were you scared?
We have, and we can be honest here, like we have this big mythical thing, like you go into the embassy, U.S. embassy, you have an interview. you overdress and you out there be like sweating bullets, like, you sweating, like you nervous. And so all I did, I think I've told this story to folks before, but like I read the whole packet, acceptance packet. Like, because they always said, so they always said, be prepared for the interview. So like, know a little bit about your school.
So you didn't know anybody who went to the interview and tell you exactly what they asked?
Because that's the thing. There's no specific question they ask. They just ask whatever they ask.
True.
And for me, I read the whole, like, I still remember to this day.
So you went and read everything about your school.
I was also curious as well. Like, I wanted to know, like, okay, this school is this.
Did you do it for the curiosity or for the embassy?
For both. Like, I'm reading it. I was like, okay, this school is 3 hours away from Oklahoma City. So that I knew. That it was going to take me 3 hours.
And you memorized that so you can talk about it.
I just like, interview. And also I remember when I was applying, and I think also it was like in the application.
This is
like,
why he got 4.0, man. The entire 4 years of school.
Due diligence is what it's called.
Sure, man. I'm impressed. So he like memorized the whole package.
I remember this percentage, like 55% of the faculty at my school had doctorate degrees, and I mentioned that point in my interview. Like, I'm not gonna.
What question did they ask for you to say that?
They said, "Why did you choose this school?"
Oh,
because that's one of the questions they ask. Like, why did you choose a school? And I was straightforward. I was like, "Small class sizes," because most of the, like, the biggest class I was ever in, we had 41 students. That was the biggest class, one of the freshman level classes.
Yeah,
and the smallest class I've ever been in, two students, me and somebody else.
Smallest class was two students?
Yeah, me and somebody else.
What class was that?
Advanced Organic Chemistry.
Okay. Now that makes sense. Who would want to take that besides whoever wants to be a doctor?
I did it the hours. Like, I had to, because I had two majors. So, like,
don't worry. You don't have to explain it to me. I say it makes sense why there was only two of you. Like, I understand that. I don't question why you took it. I know why you took it.
I probably wouldn't. Like,
all right, doctor. Soon to be. No. Whenever.
The wannabe.
Wannabe doctor. All right, going back to that process.
I did my homework, as people would say. Like, so I tried to like know a little bit about the school. So like the easiest thing to remember was class sizes.
Okay.
Class sizes, that means I get to like get the attention of the professors and get to know them one-on-one.
Yeah.
And also,
man,
like the faculty, that means like that qualifying and all that. I remember that's one of those things that I mentioned in my interview. Like, they ask, why did you choose the school?
So what other questions did they ask?
Why did I choose a school? Mm-hmm. What am I going to do after I graduate? Big one. And actually, I think my interview was like 3 minutes, 5 minutes tops. Like, it's always depends. Cause I remember like, and I will let you like tell your side of like when you went to the interview and everything. But for me, like, it was quite, I was about to go to work. So
work?
Yes.
Oh yeah. You mentioned you were working with your parents. Yeah.
Like, on my way, I stopped by the embassy.
All dressed up.
I wasn't like, I didn't have a suit on. I was nervous like a... Mm-mm.
Really?
Man, you have no idea. But then, because, you know, some folks who may not know, when you go for the visa interview, it's like an open room.
There's no privacy. Everybody can hear.
Whatever they ask it's you, like everybody can hear.
It's like at the bank teller. It's like there's just legit, a window and you're just talking to somebody. Literally. And then people are just in the waiting room there, literally, just looking at you.
So when you get the, like, when they deny your visa, like, everybody knows. So I started like listening in onto the questions that I could prepare mentally. Like, okay. And then
you were still preparing in the
like, how would I answer this question?
Yeah.
Because I was nervous.
Yeah.
And the two guys ahead of me got denied. I was like, do not listen to this anymore. Because they...
How do you know they get denied, though? Like, it's like...
They just give you back your passport.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're right.
They keep your passport. If you're like, hey, come back tomorrow, pick up your passport.
Yeah. What then documents did you bring?
Oof. I took my I-20. Document, you take your acceptance letter, you take your passport, you take two pictures, passport pictures.
Yeah.
I took bank statement.
Yes.
Bank statement from your whoever is parents, sponsoring school, your
school, whoever's gonna study pay abroad. For your tuition,
Whoever's paying for your tuition. So that's all I took, I believe. Yeah. What did you take?
No, it's pretty much the same thing, but on the top of the bank statement, because I mentioned my mom had a saving college fund, so it was that, and it was also her bank statements, and also her paychecks, like her pay stubs every month. Yeah, my mom. So you just talked about how like you do a due diligence. My mom is the one that used to do it for me. So she is that thorough when it comes to details. And that's something that I'm trying to learn now because she's not there. She's not here, I mean, with me. But she used to do like every... She used to pressure us, though, and I feel like that's something I inherited because before I do anything, it's like the voice of my mom. Like, I thank her because I am who I am because of that.
Shout out to mom.
She did. Shout out to mom. But at the same time, so it's a positive and a negative. Like, yes, I'm very detail-oriented. I'm very focused. I'm very goal-oriented. But I don't know how to handle pressure when it comes because it's always like, oh, I gotta get this.
Were you nervous then?
Is very high.
Were you nervous for the interview?
Yes, I was a little bit nervous, but once I started hearing people talk, it was like, oh, I could have answered well. That was not a good thing though for me to think through. But like anytime they would start speaking, and I'm like, no, you shouldn't say that, because I had a few friends that had been there and they had walked me through some of the things that you can say and things that you can't say.
Did your school counselor or school counselor, did they help you, like, okay, what to expect with the visa? I believe my school also sent me some of the questions that I need to like prepare for
some of those. Really, like a college here? Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they sent like some of the questions you need to know, like when information you need to like have on hand.
I don't think they did. For me, it was just asking a few people who already had their visa, and it was just like, yeah, what are you gonna study, what's the school, yeah, like why did you choose that school? And mine was also the same thing. It was a small school, and having like a one-to-one with the relationship with the teacher rather than big schools. What was your major? What were you going to do after you graduate? And I say I was going to, because I thought I was going to be a civil engineer. So I didn't have to say anything about basketball. That's one thing my parents
say. I want to be an NBA.
Don't mention anything about basketball. Just talk about your major and just say, yes, I want to come back and help build my country. And then what else? What does your mom do? That's like another question they asked. What else? I think that's it. And for some reason, they're like, okay. I don't think I even got to finish the answer of like, oh, what does your mom do? As I was speaking, they were just like putting everything together and they put my documents aside. I didn't know that they keep it once you're selected.
Oh, you didn't know?
I didn't know that. All I did, as I saw, is they put aside and they're like, you can come back on Thursday. I was like, my document, no, you can come, you get them on Thursday. Okay.
Oh, actually, I was so nervous. I think the guy could see that I was very nervous because one of the first questions he asked me was like, do you have anybody else in the U.S.? Oh, and then I was like, I have a brother there. Oh, he was like, where does he live? Or what does he, you know, does he live? I was like, Buffalo, New York. And he was like, does he ever tell you how cold he gets?
Breaking off the ice.
Yeah, and then afterwards, like I could be able to, like nothing was coming out of my
That's
mouth.
That's the
like,
same thing I do during interviews. It's like anytime I'm interviewing somebody for the role and I can see that they're nervous, it's just talk about something that is completely outside of whatever work because they're expecting questions, they are under pressure. So it's always like, oh, how are you doing today? It's nice, where are you? Because it's remote, everything is online now. It's always like, where are you? Is it as cold as it is here in Ohio? Do you get the bipolar weather?
Talk.
Like, yes, just a small talk just for him to relax or for her to relax. It's always helpful. And I appreciate people who get to recognize that and do that because, man, when you're nervous in front of people, you can pretty much just screw it up because you don't know how you act when you're nervous. So things could be messy. But when somebody gets to recognize that for you and they kind of like break the ice
a little bit
for you to just be able to, oh, man, relax. I appreciate that because I also get nervous. So I kind of know, I'm like, okay, let's just break the ice layer. But now for me, because anytime I get nervous and it's somebody else that I'm going to either talk with her, I'm the one who's going to find a way to break the ice. So I'm the one who's going to initiate the small talk so that way it relaxes me and just break a joke. And that way I'm like, okay, once the other person, the only thing that I don't know, hopefully I never get to experience that, is when I crack a joke and the other person doesn't laugh. That becomes even more uncomfortable. I really hope it never gets to that, but I'm always like, what if I make a stupid joke and somebody doesn't laugh? But yeah, back to the interview process. So so they told you can come back.
So I was gonna just mention this side thing about like the whether you get it accepted, your visa gets accepted or gets denied. If it gets denied, they give you a letter, but they don't tell you why you got denied. I don't know if you know, but they don't tell you why you got denied. You just say, come back in at least a month.
I think the main thing for students, it's always to make sure the money. So if you are applying for a college and the tuition, you have to make sure you can actually pay for it and you can prove that you can pay for it. I think that's the main thing.
I think that the reason why, one of the reasons why they tell you come back tomorrow, they finish their due diligence once you're gone.
They say come back tomorrow or not another time.
So no, they say come back tomorrow when you get your visa, when you're back.
Oh, yeah.
It's 99% sure
you
get it.
But when
it gets denied, they give you a passport and a letter. I think it'd have like a template. So like I had met somebody before, like a few months before, who got denied.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the letter.
Yeah.
So then when I was like, the person was done questioning me, they were typing some things. I was like, oh crap, he is typing the letter.
Yeah,
he's typing the letter. This is it. I was like, man.
I think they even know if they got, now the more I think about it, I think they even know if they're going to deny you or not. It's like they already know like 50, at least 60% or 70% if they're going to accept or deny you. And it's just a matter of you answering a few questions because you do send the application like whatever ahead. You send all the documents. So like you send all these documents, but you still bring them to the embassy. You're looking for...
What did you send?
When you're booking for an embassy appointment.
Okay.
You uploading all these documents. You did not apply. You didn't input the I-20. Oh, you can. No. If you don't have the I-20 yet, you can say don't have it yet. But you bring it.
Yeah.
But you do apply through the applications. You already have like all these things that you go through the embassy website.
Mm-hmm.
Your name, the school you apply to.
Because it's a long process.
It's another thing. It
takes
another
about 30, 45 minutes to go through the whole thing.
I think I did three times. Like I was, I would save it.
And save, then the next save day, and come back.
Come back
yeah.
and do it
yeah.
again. Then come back and do it again. And then you do send all that. And then you come back with whatever you didn't have when you... Because the main thing is just to book the appointment ahead of time. So
if it's always booked out like 2 months ahead.
2 months ahead, yeah. So you send everything. If you don't have everything... then that's when you bring it to the interview. But if you have everything, then you put it there. That way they know because you come there, they know who you are already. You have your name. You put your parents' name. You put where you live.
Yeah.
You put if you have any siblings here in America or
any
anybody
records.
Else. So anyway.
If you've been arrested or anything
like that. Yeah, so you already have most of the things that are there. So I think you already have enough details for you to be Yeah,
that's the thing because I've seen folks who have enough money to pay for their colleges twice over and they get denied.
But they get denied. So what do you think is the reason?
I have no idea. It's a hit or miss. It depends on who interviewed you. Like I don't know what you said, but yeah, like I was nervous as hell. But then they said, "Hey, I remember what kind of clothes that I had on that day."
I do too.
I remember like I was like
I
how I
shirt.
Felt. Dang. I remember how I felt. I was like, man, like 99% sure. I didn't tell nobody though, like except my parents. But nobody else knew that I had an interview. Like I just went for my interview. I went straight to work. And then I went back the next day. The visa was in there. I was like, okay, now you can fly. Now you can buy your...
My mom had already bought the ticket for me.
Was it refundable?
Wait, she didn't buy it, but she booked it. She was like, this is what you need to show. Like, hey, because they also ask if you have any travel plans already.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. I think I read somewhere that the US is one of the few countries, if not the only country, where you have to interview for the visa. Most other countries you apply, you send your documents.
Oh, yeah.
And they accept or deny.
It in Kenya, actually.
But you don't have to like interview. Most countries, but the US, you, like even if you have every single document, you still have to go through that interview process. And it's actually, I might be wrong. I think you get accepted or denied.
Don't worry, we'll bring guests that are going to talk about it because I know we're starting with America because we are here, obviously. But we intend to bring guests to talk about different countries where they went to study. If it's Canada, if it's UK, if it's Australia, that way they can go also through their process and also talk about their struggle. But we started with US, obviously, because we're here
journey.
And that's our journey just to initiate that conversation. But we do intend to bring guests from different countries. That way we can continue to connect the Rwandan diaspora and also just continue to give more gems and those hidden realities that everybody kind of like romanticize here. Mm-hmm. That way everybody can continue. That way you can make informed decision on whatever you want to study, because these work permits issues are here most mainly because you in the US. Canada, now they have a new rule that once you graduate, you can start working without any restrictions. Wow. So those are the things that we want to bring those people that I went to Canada. That way they can also bring their information and you can make that decision of saying, I want to go to Canada, I want to go to US, I want to go to UK, because it's either simpler or at least you have an idea of what to expect there instead of just blindly coming like the way we thought.
Yeah.
but you make it work. It's either it's a journey. We'll talk about who we became eventually. We just here, we're starting with the US, but we're gonna get deeper into other countries with other people, with other guests, so we can expose everything and just continue to share those information. The work permits,
for today we went through like, okay, how was your application process, the visa interview process and school application process, what tests you took and everything. So now that is guiding us through, okay, you got your visa.
Yeah.
Now you're getting ready to travel.
Getting ready.
So like for the next one, we're talking about like our travel experience and getting coming to America for the first time.
And landing in a place where you thought it was going to look like New York.
Yeah, we got some for it. I think that might need two parts because there's a lot of things.
You say you went 3 hours. I went 1 hour, but I was tired, man. I saw a city and then boom, 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 boom. We started getting in corns. I was like, where are we going?
By the way, he went to school in West Virginia. So just so you know, for better context. And I went to school in Oklahoma. But at least I had read my packet.
I know it was long.
I knew it was 3 hours away.
I know it was long, but they said it was going to be a drive, but I didn't know it was going to be a
drive. And boy, do I have some stories.
Man, I can't wait.
But yes, so next time you see us, we're going to be talking about like, okay, our travel experience and our first time being coming to America. What was it like? What was
coming to America?
The original version. but please, thank you very much for watching. Please go ahead and like this video, shoot us a comment, share with your friends. Thank you. Put a comment in there, ask us some questions, and go ahead and follow us on social media platforms as well. At the BM Pod on Instagram and TikTok, the BM Pod. We want to be more engaging with our audience as well. That way we can give you much better content.
Please let us know which country you would like to hear next, so we can start preparing as we're going through the guests that went to school in America, the guests that stayed here in America and went through those work permits, restrictions and how they did it, what was their experience, the guests that decided to go home after graduating from America. That way they can also talk about their experience in Rwanda and what they are doing and how they went through all those. Because it's also another struggle once you go back home and you have no other experience.
Yeah.
And you have to find a job and getting accustomed to the Rwandan system again. So we'll bring also those guests so they can also talk about their experience about graduating here and going back home and what are the things they have learned. Would they do anything differently? So please let us know what other country you would like to hear after. That way we can start preparing on who's going to be next. Because right now it's a US edition. But hopefully we can get the Canada edition or UK edition. It's whatever you do propose. Because as you said, we want to be engaged. So whatever you get to choose, that's the one we'll go with.
But yeah, it may be later seasons. It may be earlier in the season. We'll see how it works out. But again, thank you very much for staying with us and giving us a part of your time. Again, this is your guys, Jadot. This is your man with Christian. 4 degrees, Christian. And we'll see you next time.